Joy is interesting. It shows up all the way through our life. It comes without favoritism. All tribes, all nations, all classes. You're going to have immense joy. It's just something that floods our lives periodically. All of those great things that you can think of when you felt joy, but it passes. That same feeling that it's an everlasting joy. It's a present. It's a Christmas present. Here on December the 13th, Merry Christmas, less than 2 weeks until Christmas. I hope your preparations are going well, as Heather's and mine are. And we've been each Sunday looking at a different element of what we celebrate at Christmas. And this week, we're going to take a look at joy. So I've had a really good time thinking about joy the last couple of weeks and praying and asking God to make me more joyful, make me really understand joy, and lead me by his spirit as I looked at joy in the Bible. And so it's been a great 2 weeks for me. So let me jump right in, and I'm going to read you a little passage from the Gospel of Luke, and then we'll think about that word joy. And it's Luke chapter 2, verse 8 and on, and it's a pretty familiar passage, I'm going to tell you that. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So you noticed it right in the middle of that pretty familiar passage. The word joy shows up. And it's the way that the angels bring them this news. And it's news of great joy. It's good, good, good news. And joy is interesting, isn't it? I've been thinking about that we have joy in our lives repeatedly. It shows up all the way through our life. And I think it's something that's absolutely universal. It comes without favoritism. It's all tribes, all nations, all classes. I don't care whether you're a young mother holding up her baby and looking at it in Paris, in Patan, in Pittsburgh, or Pemberton. You're going to have immense joy. If you're a groom watching his bride come down the aisle, you could be in Budapest, Boston, or British Columbia. You're going to have that joy. Jesus told us, our Father in heaven, he causes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. He sends refreshing rain. Doesn't matter where you are, you're going to get that same refreshing rain from our Father. And I think that's the way it is with joy. It's just in the nature of who God is. He gives us these good gifts, and one of the best is joy. It's just something that floods our lives periodically. And so it's no surprise if you look through the Old Testament, joy is one of the words that shows up a lot. A few hundred times. And, you know, there's some words that show up once or twice. Joy occurs a lot. In the Psalms, if you've been a Bible reader for a long time, you'll remember how often it shows up in the Psalms, the notion to sing with joy, shout with joy, clothe yourselves with joy, be anointed with joy. There's days of joy. There's feasts of joy. There's seasons of joy. And it comes over and over, this sense that joy can come and flood our lives. But it's my experience that it is a season. It's periods. It comes. You get a whiff of it. And then it seems to go away. When I was a kid, hold that thought for me. I'm going to give you an example of what I think it seems similar to me. When I was a kid, I grew up in Vancouver, and pretty much everybody my age would remember that we got wooden boxes that arrived in December filled with oranges from Japan. And it would actually make the news when the ship arrived in port. And it would be a big deal each year, the day the ship arrived with the oranges from Japan. And then they'd get distributed out to the stores. And as a little kid, they'd be distributed out to you because your family would only buy one box of Japanese oranges. They were expensive. And you'd get your orange allotment. They were spectacular. I can still remember a lot about them, but I can remember sort of the smell. It's middle of December. It's cloudy and gray. And you have this whiff of summer and sunshine and foreignness, and it's exotic. And it comes wafting in. Joy is, to me, like that. This scent, a whiff of a foreign land that's good, 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 where you just get a taste of something, well, I guess of the way we're supposed to be. It doesn't seem, it's foreign and it's not foreign. It's really familiar and yet it's not the way life normally is. It's a taste of what life is supposed to be. A sort of feeling you get of intense goodness, that life is the way it should be and it's good. And pretty much we know that it's ephemeral. But then there's these words in the prophet Isaiah. So Isaiah writes a few hundred years before Jesus, and it's a time of trouble and difficulty for Israel. But he has a picture of the future, and he shares that. And that's one of the things he talks about in his book. And in chapter 35, he gives one of these pictures, and he uses picture language to describe the future and what it's going to be like. And he pictures a time where, in the middle of the desert, streams will start to flow with water. It'll be a time when the lame are leaping. It'll be a time when there's a road leading up to this beautiful city. The road is going to be called the Way of the Righteous. And then this is what he writes. It's interesting because he actually uses exactly this same passage more than once in the book of Isaiah. It's like it's something that he really wants us to notice. And it's in 35 and then again in chapter 51. Exactly the same passage. Let me read it to you. I could read from 35 from 8 right to the end, but let me go from 10 to the end. The redeemed will walk there, this highway called the Way of the Righteous. And the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. And here's the phrase. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. I don't know about you, but that is something I could get excited about that one. Everlasting joy. Can you imagine? All of those great things that you can think of when you felt joy. But it passes. That same feeling, but it's an everlasting joy. And that's the vision Isaiah has for God's people. That it will be a time of everlasting joy. So you can see maybe why the shepherds were pretty excited. This angelic host arrives, the army of God. You can also see why they were terrified. And the first words they heard were, "Do not fear." But then the next words they heard were even better. "We haven't come as an army to strike you dead," which is probably what you were worried about. "No, we've come to bring you unbelievably good news of great joy." That same news really is news that our king has found a way for us to again be his people. That once again, we would be in fellowship with our maker, our creator. That rather than being his enemies, not because of anything we've done, but because he loves us, we could again be sitting at a table with him and feasting and just enjoying the fellowship. And that's the good news. And you think about it, it's pretty good news. And it really smacks of me, of what Jesus is like. Just someone who I want to spend time with. I was thinking about different people that Jesus bumped into through his life. It starts on that moment when the shepherds hear about his birth and then in the stable. But his life is marked out with just these episodes of incredible joy. He runs into some fishermen. One of them goes and talks to his brother and says, "They're just fishermen, by the way. They're not political. They're not philosophers. They're rural fishermen." And one brother says to the other, "I've met someone and you've got to meet him. Completely different than anybody I've met before." And they go and meet him, and they decide right there, "We're throwing away our nets. We're following him." Years later, one of them writes two books of the New Testament. He talks about a life filled with joy. It happens to be a life where he was in prison, beaten. None of that matters. None of it mattered. All that mattered was he now had a relationship with the God who made him and who loved him. You know, another man that Jesus meets is a tax collector, a businessman, you might say, except he's in the business that is really the nastiest business of his day. The equivalent today might be a usurial money lender, something unseemly and the shady side of life. Just meeting Jesus, the fellow went away, decided to give half of everything he had to the poor. The people he cheated, he gave back double. Why? Because he was so filled with joy at what had happened. He had a relationship with the God who made him and who had invited him to enjoy him forever. And fellowship with him, eat at his table, a nonstop, let's call it a nonstop party. He meets a woman at a well, and she's had she's walked on the wrong side of the tracks. Her life hasn't been great. She says after meeting him, "He told me everything that I'd ever done. He knew me." In that culture, that was unheard of for him to just go up and speak to a woman like that. but he forgave her. In other words, he invited her to come into a relationship with the God that made her, to have fellowship with him, and to enjoy that forever, to just that whiff that we normally get once in a while in our life, to have that as an everlasting joy. And so it went. Everywhere Jesus went, that was what occurred. That was his invitation, that you could enjoy everlasting joy. The whiff from a faraway land that I had when I'm a kid, that same little thing that occurs when you go up in the mountains and it just seems so good, but it passes. Maybe you're a horseback rider and you go out riding horses and you get that little taste of what joy is like. Maybe you're a skier and you run the Great Line and you get a little taste. That's supposed to be the reality of our life. It doesn't come just by skiing a Great Line, riding a great horse, kissing a great girl, having the best bride. Those are all good. And they're gifts from God that are a taste of what joy is. And what Jesus offers, and what I've been thinking about these last couple weeks, is that is really supposed to be and can be, and it's available to be, my steady routine life. In this life, it'll get interrupted because we live in a fallen world and we're fallen people. And we forget. I forget, maybe you forget, that that's the real reality. The real reality, life in Jesus, is a life of joy. And it doesn't get affected by circumstances. My relationship with my Creator, being again fellowshipping with my King, it's always there. One day we'll get it like Isaiah saw it, where it's just absolutely complete. Another picture the Bible has is a feast, the wedding supper of the Lamb, where we're invited. And it goes on. It's not an interrupted joy. It's an everlasting joy. So my encouragement to all of us, starting with me, is that this Christmas I might just reflect on that. If you're a believer, that's supposed to be and can be our life, a life of joy. Paul talks about us being able to be robbed of our joy, but it's something that he cautions, don't allow that to happen. The apostles, it just seems like no matter what swept over them or any difficulty, they'd sing a hymn and it was all good. You couldn't take away their joy because you couldn't take away the presence of God in their life. And if you're going through life and you're saying, that's not something I've tasted yet, I know the little glimpses of joy, I don't know the steady daily reality of joy, it's a present. It's a Christmas present. It began with the first Christmas. Easter is a holiday which is supremely triumphant. Christmas is a holiday which is supremely joyful. And let it just be your Christmas where you get to experience that joy. It was the announcement that the angels brought in the very first Christmas. Good news of great joy. It begins just by turning your life over to God, like the first fisherman did, like the tax collector did, like that woman did. Over and over, there's stories of Jesus coming across people and him saying, follow me, become my follower. I'll leave that with you. It's my hope that this is a very, very joyful Christmas for all of us. Go with God. Amen.
The candle of this third week of Advent is a candle of joy. Our word is obsessed with the idea of happiness. It has been said that happiness is merely our best watered down version of real joy. Happiness is related to things that happen external. Joy, real joy, comes from deep within, a gift from God. Let us pray. Amlakhna namasgna kalana sana sile zelakha khabran waka jabhir simka khantsuwa abzraf bizi far kasle zkhone harat kasle zbez hanna namasgna kalana amlakh sile istafi kai sile allo bahalfi bzaaba ertra ethiopia tigray abzkayr zelo khinatik jabhir bzuh dam ifassallo goita bzuhat menesiyat tqfollo ብዙሓት ፋሚሊ ፋሕፋሕ ብላ ኣለዋ እግዚኣብሔር ነዚ ክትርዮ ብሽም የሱስ ንፅልያ ኣለና ጣልቃ ክትኣቱ ብሽም የሱስ ይፅልያ ኣለ ጎይታ እልምነካ ኣለና ብጀካኻ ወላ ሓደ ክፈትዖ ዝኽእል የለን ናባኻ ግን ልምና ኣለና ጎይታ እስኻ ጣልቃ ክትኣቱ ደም ምፍሳስ ከብቅዕ ነዚ ነገር እዚ እግዚኣብሔር ብብዙሕ መገዲ ደም ንምፍሳስ ዝፅዕሩ ክፉኣት ሓይልታት ብሽም የሱስ ካባኻ በዚ መፅሕ ሓይሊ ኩሉ ነገራቶም ደው ክበል ይፅሊ ኣሎ ጎይታ እዞም ሰባት እዚኦም ኣሊኻ ነቲ ህዝቢ ዝሓልዩ ንዓኻ ዝፈርሁ እግዚኣብሔር ንመንእሰይ ዝሓልዩ መራሕቲ ክትበና ንፅሊ ኣለና ጎይታ ነዚ ደም ዝፈስ ዘሎ መንእሰይ ጠምቶ ነቲ ዝኽትም ዘሎ ህፃን ጠምቶ እግዚኣብሔር ነቲ ጉህዩ ሓዚኑ ውሉዱ ዝስእን ዘሎ ወላዲ ጠምቶ እግዚኣብሔር ኮይ ኣምላኽ ልምነካ ኣለና ርድኣና እግዚኣብሔር ስደትና የብቅዕ መከራና የብቅዕ እግዚኣብሔር ሆይ ሓዘንና የብቅዕ እግዚኣብሔር ዘበን ምትእኽኻብ ዘበን ዕረፍቲ ዘበን ረሃዋ ክትበና ብሽም የሱስ ንፅሊ ኣለና ኣምላኽ እዚ ኩሉ ስለ ትገብረልና ክብሪ ንበካ ኣለና ጂዘስ ነይም ኣሜን
And his gospel is peace.